Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Breaking news from Europe. U.S. launches probe into Chinese semiconductor industry, Financial Times reporting. Subhead, investigation comes just weeks before Biden administration hands over to President-elect Donald Trump. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and Charles Burton of Synopsys, our good colleague, to comment on the puzzlement. Why now? Why so late in the administration? Why semiconductor? Gordon, I come to you first on this because my understanding is the intellectual property theft has been going on for decades, routinely, and that China's efforts, the Chinese Communist Party's efforts over these last years was to reproduce the semiconductor business that is now in the possession of a firm in Europe makes the machines that make the semiconductors so high-end. A firm in California designs the semiconductors that are so high-end, and a manufacturing center in Taiwan produces the high-end chips that are desired by AI and other breakthroughs. That's the chain that we've been living with for years and that China has not penetrated. So what is it that the administration achieves with this semiconductor investigation? Does it in any way change China's behavior?
I don't think that this investigation will change China's behavior. The nub of the complaint is that China has been employing anti-competitive tactics to build its legacy chip business. And that certainly is true. And this is not just chips. It goes across the board, especially EVs, but also other things as well. It's the complaint about overcapacity that we have heard, for instance, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo talk about, Janet Yellen talk about it, other administration officials who have gone to China. And clearly, this is very, very late in the game. This should have occurred, this investigation should have been instituted in the first or second year of the Biden administration.
Charles, your observation, is there any reason to believe that China will change its conduct with this investigation being open and the expectation that they'll find plenty to complain about?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that the Chinese government's policy is to try and flood the market with these products priced underpriced to inhibit the incentive for U.S. high tech to meet the challenge. And there's also the overall strategy of future hybrid war, and whether there are a lot of products that are using Chinese high tech that could be subverted in time of conflict through, you know, software updates or whatever. I mean, certainly the EVs are perhaps a very clear indication that if there was a conflict between the United States and China, that Chinese EVs could have software updates forced into them that would cause them to cease to function effectively. And that would simply be the tip of a very deep iceberg of planning on the part of the Chinese regime to try and gain advantage through non-conventional warfare that would give considerable advantage in a time of conflict. So, you know, this is just a very small fragment expression of a much, much deeper and much more serious problem that, as Gordon correctly points out, should have been addressed in a much more vigorous way a long time ago. And certainly there's no reason for the Chinese to change what is evidently a very successful strategy.
Gordon, the accusation, according to the Financial Times, this is a quote, accusing China of using, quote, extensive and anti-competitive and non-market means, including setting and pursuing market share targets to achieve indigenization and self-sufficiency. That can be said about a variety of industries and inventions and entrepreneurship. It's a puzzle to me. Is this a revelation to anyone, Gordon? I'm trying to figure out the politics of this as well as the industrial weight?
No, it's not a revelation because, for instance, in 2015, Xi Jinping announced the Made in China 2025 initiative. And not long after, Chinese officials had to stop talking about it because everybody around the world pointed out that this was one big, massive World Trade Organization violation. Yet they've continued the program, although they don't speak of it because of trade violation concerns. But clearly, we've known this has been going on for a very long time. We know about these subsidies. We know about these anti-competitive practices. We know about these anti-foreign rules, which violate their trade obligations. And yet, we have had feeble responses from the United States and other countries.
Charles, is there equal concern in Ottawa, and have they voiced the concern?
Yes, but Canada has got similar measures in the hopper. So, in fact, I'm just doing an interview on that this morning to the Canadian media. I think, you know, what we really have to look at is Chinese influence operations and the subversion of decision-making elites that allow these things to persist. So it's part of an integrated approach by the Chinese communist regime to further its ends. And the fact that the U.S. government has not acted on something that, as Gordon points out, is absolutely crystal clear and evidential suggests that the Chinese, through other elements of their regime, have managed to suppress the lawmakers from doing the right thing.
Your industries that have been penetrated, is there a short list or a long list?
I think we have the same list as the United States, but Canada tends to lag behind and I think really only respond to U.S. pressure on these matters. And in a lot of cases, it's more about virtue signaling commitments to do something and not actually restricting the Chinese sale of these things underpriced to achieve Chinese regime goals. But obviously, you know, it's unacceptable to the United States if Canada is fully penetrated by China and is sending these products into the American market if the United States has restricted them. And of course, the biggest example would be the EVs. Canada has imposed a 100% tariff on Chinese EVs coming into Canada, and I think that will respond to concerns about the impact of Chinese EVs on the North American auto market. I mean, on the one hand, it would be devastating to our national car production industries getting these low-priced dumped EVs into us, and on the other hand, the national security considerations of Chinese product that is still linked to China through software updates is just huge. So, I mean, obviously, we don't want to have Chinese EVs dominating the market in North America. It would be strategically disastrous for us in case of future conflict.
Gordon, we have a minute. Is there reason to believe that the Trump administration will be more effective in these matters than just opening an investigation?
I think the Trump administration will be more vigorous. And one of the reasons is that it comes later in time. And as there's been more and more evidence accumulated, Trump has to do something. We've got to be concerned that Elon Musk is very influential. He has Tesla. He has a big business in China. But apart from Elon Musk, I think most people in the Trump administration will be advising the president that they need to take vigorous action.
And so you're satisfied that they're well-educated on this matter and don't need to start at zero?
No, nobody needs to start at zero. We all know. The only issue is political will.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Charles Burton of Synopsys in Ottawa.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.